Morning. Oh, is that loud enough? Yeah, sounds like it. All right. I'm happy to be here this morning. My name is John Michael Dasher, and I'm from the big city of Allendale, just south of here. So Carson reached out to me on Wednesday, even if I could come and preach this morning, and I said, yeah. So also, lucky for you guys, the Rams don't play till tomorrow, so we get to be here all day in God's house. How's that? like I said, my name is John Michael. I grew up just south of here in Allendale, went to college and moved back, and my wife and family and I, we reside in Allendale. They are actually at Parkview Christian Church in Mount Carmel, where my family and I attend. My wife is in the worship band over there, so she is there singing, and my kids are stuck in the nursery over there for the next two services. So that's what we're doing right now. This morning, I'm going to preach on the story of David and Goliath. So we will be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you guys want to go ahead and turn there. This story is every 5 to 10-year-old boy's favorite story, as it should be. We've got blood, we've got a giant, we got a slingshot, we got swords. It's a great, great and fun story. the title of this sermon is, God is Bigger Than Your Giants. We all go through times in life where we have giants. If that is our sin, if that is grief or worry, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, an addiction, a disease, a sickness, the list goes on and on. Today we are going to talk about how David had the courage to take down his giant, and we have six life lessons we can take away from that. I'm not going to read the entire chapter of chapter 17. It's a pretty long one, but I'm just going to kind of go through and hit the high points real quick, and then we can get into what these six life lessons are. So, chapter 17, we have the Israelites against the Philistines. We are up on a mountain. We got a valley dividing the Philistines on one side, the Israelites on the other. We have Goliath, the big warrior from Gath, who is, the Bible says, is 9 feet tall. You get a lot of people who argue saying that there's no way a guy could have been 9 feet tall, but I guarantee he was because the Bible says so. Also, how many of you guys have heard of the Alton Giant? This gentleman's name is Robert Wallow, all right? So I know Illinois is known for a lot of things, like corrupt governors and all kinds of stuff, right? But we're also known to have the tallest guy in recorded history. Robert Wallow is from Alton, Illinois, and he is 8 foot 11. So there are giants in the land, just like there's giants in our lives. So we've got Goliath, and then he's coming out and he's defying the army of the Lord, and he's chanting and raging and teasing them, taunting them to come out and fight him, and no one's willing. So then he makes the, well, let's do one-on-one. You send your best soldier against me and we'll fight. And that's where we have this young lad named David. He comes in, he's willing. And he asked the soldiers, what is the king willing to do for the guy who goes out there and defeats him? And the reward is you get the princess and you get to live tax-free, which sounds like a great deal to me. And I guarantee you, if us Dasher boys would have been alive at this time, my parents would have sent all three of us to go fight Goliath. And in reality, only one of us probably would have gave him a chance, and it wouldn't have been me. It wouldn't have been my older brother. It would have been my younger brother, William, who is currently serving overseas in the army. He was always just a lot bigger and a lot more physical than the rest of us. So he might have had a chance. The rest of us wouldn't have. But so David goes out and he challenges Goliath. And he wins. And he finishes the job. He goes out and he rescues Israel. And that's where we're gonna start here now. We've got six life lessons. Our first life lesson is this: make sure you have the right motive. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26 reads, "Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, 'What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?'" David's motive was there was an uncircumcised man, a foreigner, a Philistine of all people, mocking God the Creator. That same mocking is still being said about Jesus and his church. And we too should burn with a passion to put an end to that mocking. And not by physically harming people, but in the way we treat people, the way we love people, by the way we speak truth and live out the gospel in our everyday lives. How many of us have done things with the wrong motive? If that was for pride or for money or to make someone else look bad. I know there have been times in my life where I have done things out of pride. David here does not do this for riches or fame. Yes, I guarantee you the princess and the tax-free money would have been great. But David's motive was pure. His true motive for killing Goliath was because Goliath had defied the Lord. Our motive in whatever task we are doing shouldn't be to give ourselves glory, but give glory to the Lord. Our second life lesson is put your confidence in God, not in yourself. We're going to read verses 31 through 37. So if you want to find that real quick. When the Lord which David spoke were heard, oh, my apologies. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." It is easy to put your confidence in your faith in yourself. I think that's part of the culture that we live in. I remember growing up, my parents always said, if you want something, go get it. Go work for it. Nobody's going to give it to you. So as a young guy, I became very independent and put all my confidence really in myself. David, though, in this time in his life, realizes that his strength and his talents come from the Lord. When I was younger, I ran a lot. I was in junior high and high school. I was in cross country and track. And if you would have grown up in Allendale, you would have saw this tiny little blonde-headed boy running laps around town, always running, because that's where my identity was. It's where I had my confidence. I wasn't, if you can imagine, I was even smaller in junior high. So football really wasn't my thing, and in Mount Carmel, that's a pretty big deal. So cross country was my go-to. It's where I succeeded. It's where my confidence was. Growing up, my mom used to always tell me, God gave you the talent, and he can take it away. So be humble. Those are some good words of advice. They're words that I try to live by, but I didn't always live up to it. Due to it is easy, so easy to put your confidence in yourself. Especially when life is going well. Some of us put our confidence in our wealth, our talents, our image, or our name. We, though, like David, should put our confidence in the Lord. Our third life lesson is stay within your strengths. Verse 40 reads, "He took his stick in his hand, he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine." David could have went out and faced Goliath with a sword, with armor and shield, but that was not David. He knew what he was good at, and that was with the sling. I was looking up some stuff on the slingshot, and apparently, if you're pretty good with the slingshot, you can sling a stone up to 200 miles an hour. I don't know if any of you guys watch baseball. A major league pitcher, if he's really feeling it and he's a stud, he's throwing 100 to 105. My wife's Grand Caravan, I think, hits 140. So 200 miles an hour, that's fast. That's pretty quick. And I would say that David, reading other stories of the bears and the lions, I would say he probably had quite a bit of experience with that slingshot. Staying within your strength, though, is sometimes, unfortunately, something we may not have a say in. But if you do have a choice, stay within your strength. So if you are bad with money, you probably shouldn't be an accountant, probably shouldn't work at a bank. If you don't know history, you probably shouldn't be a history teacher. If you can't use power tools, I would recommend not being a carpenter. And the list goes on and on. And that also, within the church, we've all been given many talents. And if that's hanging out with kids, you hang out with kids. If that's visiting the elderly, you go visit the elderly. There are so many roles within the church. We all have different talents. Use them. I'm by no means a preacher. I work for a company called ServPro. But someone asked me to come preach, I said yes. So if someone asks you to do something, do it. Do it. Even, like I said, stay within your strength, though. Sometimes I feel this is not mine. But be willing to serve. Be willing to step up. Our fourth life lesson is verbally give honor to God. We're going to go 41 through 47. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and a ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands." Give honor where honor is due. Give praise where praise is due. We love it when people give us praise, and we are quick to accept it. We live in a society where it's all about me. You turn on the TV, you get on Facebook, you get on any social media platform, and all it is about me, me, and me. We need to give God the glory. We've all been given talents. We've all been given so much, and sometimes it's so easy to make it all about me that I did this, I did that. And if it wasn't for the Lord, none of it would be possible. And David realizes that. Our fifth life lesson is move toward the giant rather than from him. Verse 48 says, "Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine." He ran toward the giant. He didn't walk. He charged the battle line. Without hesitation, a young man charged a 9-foot warrior. Like I said, we all have giants in our lives. We all have trials that we go through. James says, consider it pure joy when faced with trials. It's hard to do. But we need to be like David and move toward the giant. Charge our giants. It may be easier for us to lay down and let whatever we are facing take control and win. Again, David charged a 9-foot soldier. David was a young boy with no military background, and he took on the biggest soldier of all time. So, what sin are you up against? What burden is holding you back from serving Jesus wholeheartedly? So the disease that may be wearing us down, charge it. The debt that may be racking up, work on it, pay it, get it paid off. The marriage that is falling apart, charge it, pray about it. We all have a lot of issues going on in our lives, and we all just need to take the time to pray about it, because we can conquer them. We can take them down like David took down Goliath. Our sixth and final life lesson is finish the job. We're going to read 49 through 54 real quick. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into the forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. And then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted, pursued the Philistines as far as the valley, into the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shearim, even to Gath and Ekron. The sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. And then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. I don't know about you, but I hate a half-hearted effort. If you're going to do something, do it right. If you say you're going to do something, do it, even if something better comes up. Keep your word. Do not cheat yourself or those around you. I think finishing a job has a lot to do with one's character. David had a job to do, and he finished it. He charged the giant, and he conquered him. I hope we, too, can charge our giants and conquer them. Think how much better this world would be if we took our problems, our giants, like David did. Remember, the same God who gave David that victory over Goliath is the same God that is living and active in all of us through his Holy Spirit. So have courage and take down your giants. That's my sermon. Sweet and simple, to the point. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a time of invitation, if you pray with me. Dear Lord, we are living in some crazy times right now in 2020. We all have trials. We all have temptations that we are facing right now. And Lord, I pray that we can look to David as an example, that we can look back at this old Bible story that we're all so familiar with, and we can read it, and we can learn it, and we can apply it to our own lives. Lord, I pray that we as the church can take down many, many giants within our communities. Lord, I pray that you be with this congregation, and I ask this in your Son's name. Amen. So as we come to this time of invitation, I'm going to be standing up front or in the back, wherever you guys would want me to be. I know there's going to be some elders here, too, that are more than happy to talk to you. If any of you guys have not been baptized, there's no better time than now to take that step. So, like I said, we're going to be standing around. Feel free to come talk to us, and we're ready. We got water in the tub. We've got some clothes. We'll make it happen. Okay. So...